I wanted to live my passion. I wanted to kind of not be, I guess, stuck in the box as far as the way of societal thinking goes, and maybe like the normals. I really much wanted freedom and to live my life as I chose. And it kind of opened the doors to a different way of thinking.
My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion, and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools, and tips how to live life full of meaning, passion, and purpose. If you caught my weekend shortcast on Sunday, you'll know that I was talking about how our young guests are taking the information that is readily available and running with it. There really is no excuse anymore. Personal development is mainstream, and everything you need to know is on a podcast, on Google, or in a YouTube video. This week's conversation is with Steve Gerine, a musician, entrepreneur, and dream follower. It's testament to the benefits of coming to personal development work early in life and recognizing that we are in charge of what we get out of this life and how we feel about it. Steve was raised in a small farming community in the US. As a child, he had guitar and piano lessons, but left them behind. It was towards the end of his high school when he bought himself a new guitar. He started to play the country music he loved, and he was hooked. Not long after that, he and some friends started a country band, and they have not looked back. He's still with that group, and over the years, they have grown together. They did the gigs, released albums, and had three of their songs chart in the top 100. Just a point here, Steve is not yet 30. Now, while music has been his passion, it was not his day job. That was in the power industry as a lineman. But as he says, music was always his second full-time career. What makes Steve different is he saw the benefits of personal development early in his life, and it led him and his wife to make the big life-changing decisions about their future before comfort of high incomes made it impossible to jump. Coming from a farming community, Steve has a hard work ethic and a do-it-yourself mentality, and it was this drive that led him to discover more about business mindset through books and podcasts. And I'm sure his wife, being a spiritual life coach, would have had some influence too. For Steve, like most performing artists, COVID stopped all gigs and concerts. It gave him some thinking time and allowed him to see a gap in the industry. The truth is, most musicians need songs, and it's difficult to find good new music. Together with his partners, Steve has created a system for independent musicians to find independent songwriters and buy their music. It brings the two sides together in a cost-effective system that works for both parties. Their system is an online service called Songshop, and just as we made this recording, Steve has taken the plunge and left his full-time lineman role to focus 100% on this new project. Songshop is thriving, and it's exciting to hear his passion for the project. I hope you enjoy this conversation with Steve Gerine as much as I did. So look, this is going to be an interesting conversation. Steve, thank you for being with me today. I understand you ran to this meeting, which I think is wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be chatting with you today. Really looking forward to this.
Good, I am too. I am. So yeah, it's, look, so what's the story? I know you're a musician. What's the story? Where, I mean, you know, musician and passion, they are hand in hand. You don't, you know, do that.
Absolutely.
But what's the story for you? Where did it all start?
So I guess my passion for music, I didn't really realize it until my later teen years. I was always a little bit of a musician. I took guitar lessons, piano lessons, but it didn't really fall under the passion description for me at that point in my life. But after high school, I found myself looking for something to do in my spare time. And so I ended up going and buying a guitar again and took guitar up once more. And that's kind of when I really started taking a passion to it, when it became my passion. And I really wanted to pursue it in a little bit more than just a basement hobby level.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up starting a band with a few guys who are now some very, very good friends. And that whole journey just led me
That must be such a wonderful thing to do, to have that kind of connection with people like that. You know, it's like, you know, I realized must be such a tight bond between a bunch of musicians. And I guess it can go either way, can't it? Because you can end up hating
it. Yeah. I mean, we have had, that's a funny point. We have had, I've had both experiences along my journey. But I mean, when you have a group of people that can get along that well in a sense of friendship and also kind of mesh together in a very musical way, you create moments for sure. And that's, I think, how some of the greatest art is created, by you know, just having a little bit more than a friendship, but just a bond.
You know what it is, though? It's like, and that's going to sound completely daft by comparison, but I think I will compare it and you can tell me. I think it's that thing of trust, you know, like a military unit goes into danger and they trust each other that they're all going to be there for each other, to look after each other and, you know, and look out.
Mm-hmm.
And although music is not that level of danger, but when you step out on a stage together, you've got to know you're all going to be there for each other, haven't you?
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah,
and the drummer fucks up and everyone kind of goes, what happened there?
Absolutely right. You have to trust that everybody's going to play their part, that everybody knows their part. And you also have to trust that if my guitar stops working in the middle of a guitar solo, that somebody else is just going to jump in and pick up that instrumental for me. Right.
Yeah.
It's just because, I mean, first early on when we started, that wasn't the case. When things went wrong, everybody just kind of stood there and stared at each other and it got a little bit tense and awkward. But I mean, as we progressed and got more developed as a group, when something would go wrong, somebody else would just step in and they would take that part, or they would do something, or we would like totally change it up and just make it up as we go, just to keep things. Cause I mean, when you're hired to entertain, you're entertaining, and you always want to keep that energy up, and you don't want to really taint that energy with something that might go wrong. You kind of just hide it, you laugh about it, and you just make it work and carry on.
I saw an amazing YouTube video a couple of weeks ago of a violinist, you know, sort of like, you know, playing a very big piece, orchestra and all sorts of stuff. And she's playing along there, and then one of the strings in the violin breaks, and you can see it go, and you can see her play around it without this string, and then come to a natural break, and the guy behind her literally just passed his violin and she just took it and just carried on playing. It was an amazing piece of like,
that's awesome. You know,
but that's awesome, isn't it? That's the thing. It's learning to have that level of connection with people. So look, I want to go back a little bit. What did you want to be when you got big? What was your childhood dream?
I think my childhood dream probably would have been to be an NHL goalie. I played goalie and hockey from the very first time I could really put skates on.
Oh, wow.
And I had some idols that were in the NHL, and that was kind of my childhood dream, I would say. But obviously that didn't pan out. I am not in the NHL and I no longer play hockey. So
I imagine it's not conducive to playing guitar because you can break bits.
hockey. There's definitely some hand-eye coordination that has to transfer over, but other than that, it's not very similar.
Okay. So right, you started a band, you left high school, you started a band, and obviously how many, were you on the road? Did you tour with this band? What did you do with it? What happened?
So I always had a day job. It was never a full-time, full-time thing, but it was a second. I shouldn't say it wasn't full-time. It was very full-time. It was just a second full-time job. And we toured, we played shows all across the country. We released an album. We did music videos. We had 3 songs chart in the top 100 at radio.
Hey, that's pretty good for a part-time job.
Yeah, I was very happy with our success, especially as an independent band who was really going at it by ourselves.
What genre did you play?
Country.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. That strikes me as, no, sorry, forgive my ignorance. I always think that as an older person's music. I don't think as the young people playing country, but I'm just being
Well, that's changed a lot in the last few years too. Country is very popular in North America.
Right. Okay.
Very. It's like country is actually probably the most popular genre there is.
Wow.
Right now, I would. For me,
UK, I just think of Dolly Parton and those are, that's the country singers I think, obviously, you know, it's like.
Yeah, she's old school.
Yeah, I know
she's still relevant. Kenny Rogers, she's still making new music.
Yeah. Yes, she is. I appreciate she is. Yes. So I guess these things run in phases, don't they? That, and, you know, sort of people get fed up with something and then suddenly someone brings them back and wow, he's like the Wellerman here, isn't he? I mean, who thought sea shanties would be popular?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, right. It's everything goes in phases. And I mean, as things evolve, they get popular and then they get, then maybe people don't like the way they evolve and then they fall away again. It's just kind of the natural ebb and flow of life, I suppose.
So what's the day job for you then? What have you been doing in the day job?
I built power line. I was a lineman.
All right. Okay. Are you still doing that?
I'm not still doing that. No.
So what happened? What was the continuation of this journey then?
So what happened was I had a passion for business. I really took a liking to the business side of the music industry over the years of being with my band. And I had this idea one day to build a song licensing platform. Essentially what happened was I was looking for something like it. We were looking for a place online we could license songs to use as our own for our next album. And in my research, I couldn't find one. So then I really started to dig into it and found that there was kind of a gap in the industry for something like this. And I found a lot of people who were interested in a platform that does this sort of thing. And so I just kind of decided to make it myself just and develop it myself.
Let's explore that, because for my listeners, explore the music industry. I mean, I know that there's performing rights licensing. So,
yes.
So that as a restaurant or anyone playing music in a public environment needs to get a license for that. And those monies are distributed somehow in the industry. I have no idea how they're distributed, but I guess they are. And I guess if you're a well-known band, you get loads of money. And if you're not well-known, you get nothing.
Essentially, yes.
So
that's how those work. But the way that, I guess, to break this down into the easiest terms for somebody who's not familiar with it, most artists do not, especially famous ones these days, do not write their own music.
Right.
Their songs are written for them by a team of songwriters and producers. And so that's all fine and dandy when you have a record label working for you.
Mm.
You can make these connections, right? But as an independent, you might not have connections to songwriters who are willing to pitch you their material for you to record.
Right.
And as an independent songwriter who doesn't have those connections, you might not be able to make connections with singers and artists who want to record your songs. So the platform essentially marries up these two different groups of people so they can essentially do what the big labels are doing just on an independent scale.
Right. Okay. So it's kind of taking it. Yeah. Okay. It's democratizing it away, isn't it? In a way, isn't it? It's taking
It's making it very, very accessible.
Yeah. 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 Okay. So how does it work?
So it works by songwriters will sign up. There's a membership fee for songwriters and they upload their songs to the website.
Yeah.
Artists and singers come to the website and they just browse a catalog of songs. And once they find one that they love, it's as easy as buying a t-shirt online. You add it to cart and you check out, and the website automatically generates a license between the songwriter and the artist purchasing their song.
Yep.
And it gives them the license and all the necessary materials for them to take that song into the studio and record their own version of it.
Clever, clever. And I guess there's a sliding scale depending on how the song's being used or where it gets used, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's all built into the song license that the site generates. It's all kind of in there as far as how royalties get paid, what they are, when they come into effect, all that stuff.
But I bet you had to learn a lot of legal stuff to learn.
Oh, there was a lot of learning involved, and it's never ending. Every day is a learning experience.
So what was the story of creating this app? Was it an easy journey for you?
Honestly, it was quite simple. I mean, as far as easy, no, but everything went very smoothly. Let's put it that way. There was a lot of things to figure out, a lot of developing things to go through, a lot of legal aspects to figure out. It was definitely not easy, but it all went very smooth. I ended up with just hiring great people who really knew what I wanted and knew how to make it come to life. And they all worked together to develop it. So I think it was a little bit of luck maybe with ending up hiring the right people, because I mean, you can do your research, but you never really know until you start working with someone. And I just ended up with the right people and it worked.
I know a lot of people that have created apps and not got anywhere, and they put a lot of money into the thing and developers let them down. So I know it's a journey creating apps. Certainly is a journey.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So is that your full-time job now?
It is my full-time job as of like, what day is it? As of like 2 weeks ago now.
Oh, wow. We caught you right in the middle of it. So what were you doing?
Right in the middle of a big life transition. Yeah. Wow. I was still a lineman, and we are actually in a transition phase. We're kind of going full-time into our business, and yeah, so that's kind of what's going on.
So a lineman puts up power cables. Is that what a lineman does?
Yes. Yeah. Power line technician, build power line and high line structures and
big marigold underground gloves. All big rubber gloves then.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Some days, not all the time. You don't have to wear them when you're driving.
So how did you balance the two, the lineman work and the musician work? I mean, so the lineman work, was there anything rewarding in being a lineman?
Yes. I really, really liked the trade. I think I liked it. I was good at it, but I don't think it was my passion. Let's put it that way. And we kind of came to a point a few years ago where I just wanted to, I wanted to live my passion. I wanted to kind of not be, I guess, stuck in the box as far as the way of societal thinking goes. And maybe like the normals, I really much wanted freedom and to live my life as I chose.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of opened the doors to a different way of thinking. And then that was at the same time that I had this business idea, and it's kind of all just fallen into place that way.
So what was the driving point? What was the transition point that got you into that way of thinking?
That's a really good question. I think it was just a path of wanting to better myself and self-discovery and stuff like that. Maybe some mindset work, taking care of myself and kind of just taking a step back.
But what, and I'm sure this is going to push this. What was the transition point? Because I always wonder this. It's like, what is the difference? It's like, you know, someone can say to us, you need to do this, mate. And you kind of go, or you know, a parent or a relative or something, you need to be doing this, mate. And you kind of go, yeah. You know, and then you can go and hear it from someone else and something snaps and yeah, he's right.
So here's kind of what happened with that transition point. Me and my wife both ended up at a young age with very, very good careers, good jobs, stable incomes, and kind of what one of our friends called them as the golden handcuffs.
Yeah.
And we realized in looking, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the golden handcuffs and doing that if that's what you want. But we realized in looking around that we do not want to settle and sit in the same place for the next 30, 40 years of our life. And we want more than this. And that was the point where just like, we need to do something else because this isn't okay with us. We know that there's more to life than this. And that's kind of what initiated this change.
You know, I think that's a very modern thought. I think that kind of transition for someone so young, forgive me, you are for my audience sake.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm guessing you're in your 30s.
I will be 29 and 60.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was close.
Fair enough. It's all good.
I'm 57, you see. So I recognize what you said, but from people at the other end of their tail, the people who have been in the secure job and they've got the secure job and they're going, how do I do anything different? I'm used to living on this level. I'm used to living at this level of wealth and ease. And yet I'm dying inside.
It's because you're afraid to step outside of that comfort zone.
Yes.
And that's where the growth had to come from, was I had to step out of my comfort zone and do things and make decisions that I never had to make before.
What's the toughest decision you had to make?
Quitting my job. It was the toughest decision I had to make was to actually commit to doing this and commit to trying to build a life for myself that I really wanted to live, that I was really passionate about.
Well, did you get any signs or symbols that led you to know it was the right thing to do?
There's been so many signs along the way. We are very, very spiritual in that sense, as far as numbers and signs and getting, you know.
Oh, I've got to hear those. Come on. Go. This is great.
So we're big into numbers, numerology. My wife's actually a spiritual life coach. So,
Right.
So we're big into this stuff and just little things like whether we're making the right choice. So we're actually in the process of relocating to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And just things like that, like when I signed some documents for purchasing a condo down here, that literally the moment I click submit on DocuSign, I'd get a PayPal notification that I had a new person subscribe to my website. Just little things, this little, they say coincidences, but I don't believe in coincidences. It's divine timing. That it would just like, you're going to be okay. Cause that's like when you're making those big life choices, that's when doubt and fear creep in. And there's always, you know, you'll look at the clock and it'll be 11:11 or 4:44 right at those exact moments. You're just like, oh, I'm going to be okay. Right. It's just little signs like that along the way.
We had those cause we moved from London to Scotland, okay. 17 years ago now. And mm-hmm. it just all just fell into place. There was no resistance on the entire thing. And you just knew exactly. it was the right thing to do. And I walked out of a job I'd been in for 21 years.
Amazing.
So, you know, and I had to go because if I didn't leave, I'd have been there forever. I knew that, you know, every time I tried to leave that job, something new turned up.
I know the feeling.
Oh, that's interesting. Perhaps I'll stay a bit longer. You know?
I know the feeling. Yeah. And I mean, that's another good thing to bring up too, is resistance. As soon as there's like so much resistance or it feels forced or you're getting frustrated with something, maybe it's not the right move. So you just have to really know how to trust your gut and your intuition. And I mean, that's all part of the self-discovery journey and really being in tune with yourself.
Yeah.
And learning to trust that little voice inside your head, because you
so
know
were
a lot
you
more
always,
than you think
and
you
your
know.
Wife is a spiritual coach. Have you always had that leaning yourself? Have you always been connected with that, or did your wife bring that into your life?
I think I've always had it. I've just never refined it or paid attention to it. I was always very ego driven.
Yeah.
And she kind of helped refine that side of me in my life. And I kind of helped refine the other side of hers.
I'm very tempted to invite her on the podcast and get this on the other side of the conversation.
By all means, I will give you her contact info. I'm sure she'd love it. That would be a good thing to do, actually.
It would be interesting, wouldn't it? It would be interesting.
So, it really would be.
Well, we'll sort that one out. We'll look at that. We'll look at that. So look, tell me, I have to move us on. I'm enjoying the conversation. It's always dangerous when I get to enjoy the conversation because I get carried away and then we end up talking for ages. So, but I do rein myself in. I'm going to rein myself in at this point. So what is your success metric? Because, you know, when you obviously start out in life, you have to build asset and bits and pieces. That has to be part of your success mm-hmm. metric. But you've already broken the success metric because you said, I didn't want to end up in golden handcuffs. So mm-hmm. what is your current idea of success? What does it look like to you?
It looks like to me being able to wake up every morning and do exactly what I want without having somebody tell me that I have to do this or have to do this. And I'm the only one that gets to tell myself what I have to do. And even then I might not have to do it, you know, just to live life and enjoy every day.
You've been reading my list. That's my mode. That's my success answer.
That's honestly, that's all that I want. Like, I just want to be able to wake up in the morning and truly enjoy every moment. That's success to me. I don't need $7 billion in the bank. I don't need a Ferrari in the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
Those would be fantastic, don't get me wrong, but that's not what I measure success with. It's the quality of life lived.
Has that always been the same for you? Did that come with revelation?
No, that would have come with revelation. That's only been a thing for the last, you know, 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, success was always, you know, my level of success was the golden handcuffs.
I got there.
And I was like, oh wait, there's got to be more than this, right? It's definitely changed along the way, but I'm definitely way happier in the state that I am in now than.
So what resources did you use to get here? Because I mean, you know, like realizing the golden handcuffs are not going to be the way. What was your go-to stuff or your go-to knowledge? Where did you find the knowledge to move forward?
It came from a lot of different areas, whether it was business coaches and mentors that I was following, listening to podcasts, reading books,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, like on the business side and like learning a different way of life. And then also the mindset and spiritual development stuff. And like mindset was huge, right? Like realizing that I can decide how I feel and that I can decide exactly like really anything when you wake up in the morning, and you have to go to work, do you have to go to work? Or is that just a belief that you have, that you have to go to work, right? Just changing your beliefs, changing your thought patterns, all that kind of stuff was really big in kind of this revelation that I had. And I think, I'm sure lots of people listening to this, including yourself, probably know who Tony Robbins is.
Yes.
Right. He's a giant in that field, and just lots of people like him and other coaches and mentors who I followed were kind of where I got my resources from to do all this.
It's one of the most amazing things of the information age, I think, is that people like yourself can get access to this stuff so easily now. I mean, when I stepped into personal development, it was bookshops. It was books was all we had, you know, and courses and things. So in the 80s and 90s, I was going to bookshops and ferreting around there for this kind of stuff. And I think it's wonderful that it's so accessible now and so easy to get.
It's so accessible. And I think lots of people are waking up to it too, especially since COVID-19 started. I've seen a lot of change in a lot of people.
I think that was the greatest opportunity for people to suddenly, for those that are on the transition of waking up, that being told to stay at home and do nothing was very much, you know, some people dived into Netflix or the bottle, but other people suddenly recognized that, hey, I could actually do something with this time. And I think you're right. I think it was a big game changer for
people. It made people sit with themselves and really figure themselves out. And actually it was a really big blessing in disguise for me too, because we had another year. I mean, it wasn't in a sense, because that's how I got kind of the transition from being a full-time musician to more of to be able to run my business and create Song Shop.
Yeah.
Was because of COVID, it canceled all of our shows we had.
Yeah, no gigs.
We couldn't really do anything. And it was right when I was starting to develop this thing. And all of a sudden I had all this time on my hands, right? Time that I hadn't had in years. I hadn't had that much, like, I didn't know what to do with myself, but all of a sudden I had all this time to create this platform and learn how to build an online business and market and write blogs and meet people and make connections and do the things that I had to do to try to get this thing off the ground. And so although it may have been, and it was terrible for a lot of people, it really allowed me the space to learn and grow and do what I had to do.
I guess there's the definition of terrible. I know this is going to be a bit radical, but I mean, it's like, yes, a lot of people are in pain and seriously hurting with this. And there's no doubt about it. But like all these things, it gives people opportunity to reevaluate where they are and make choices. Mm-hmm. And I know those choices aren't always easy or good or nice to make, but they are choices. And that's the tough
Absolutely. Part about it. Yeah. And I suppose that goes with any hardship. It always helps to find a silver lining.
And it's not always easy. I accept that. And you know, we've all had that. And my heart goes out to people who are really, really struggling with this at the moment. So, but.
Yeah, me as well.
So what is your, you know, to move us on question wise, what is your contribution as far as you can see to the world?
So my contribution is essentially giving songwriters and artists a platform to be able to do what the platform does.
Yeah.
My whole goal with it was to create something like this for independent creators, that they didn't have to give up copyright and royalties to their music. And so the platform doesn't take any copyright, doesn't take any royalties or any responsibility of the songs. It's still 100% owned by the artist and the songwriter. And so that's something that was really important to me, seeing as I am a independent artist and songwriter myself. Yeah. And as we were talking before, if you're not very big, the money you're making can be pennies. And so I didn't want to be taking fractions of pennies off of pennies that maybe are hard to come by in the first place. And so it's kind of the first platform of its kind. It's the first platform that does anything like this. So that's my contribution to the independent music industry for sure. And that's like, I'm just dreaming of a day where I can say that we've paid back hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars to independent creators. Like, I think that would just be an amazing, amazing thing to be able to do.
I think it would too. Yeah. And that clearly is a contribution, because I was saying a few moments ago that I think the internet has been amazing level of bringing information, but I also think on some level it's been a disaster for the creative industries.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to a podcast,
streaming and things like
Well, I was into a podcast some months ago, and some guy, and I can't remember the name of the podcast, but some guy was saying that he thought this, and he said that he was a music an artist way back in the day, you know, when records were really done, you know, and he was paid like $40,000 for a record as an advance. He only sold 100,000 copies, and the company still made money. You know, he said, "You sold 100,000 copies of an LP. Now you might get yourself a Starbucks."
Yeah, it's a different world, and that's why I guess the internet sort of killed it at first, and then COVID came and killed the touring industry, and then the internet kind of reinvented it and allowed creators to still get their art out to their fans. Because I mean, in today's day and age, the big money maker for artists is touring, playing shows, getting paid to play, whereas, you know, it used to be album sales.
So what happens? So what's going to happen with the music industry now? I mean, you say, I mean, because a lot of bands must be absolutely broke because they must have massive bills and things that they're not covering this time.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's going to create a little bit of a revelation where people are a lot more appreciative of live music, of live art, because it was kind of, people were getting complacent because it was really, why do I need to go see a show? I'll go see one next weekend, right? But now, I'm sure you talk to anybody who's been locked up in their house for 6 months. They're just like, please to God, let me go see somebody play guitar on a stage. Mm. You know, let me go sit at a table and have some pints with my friends and watch a live band.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think it's going to be really good in a sense of giving everything a reset. And it's also allowed the industry to catch up as far as the way that they do business and do things, because the music industry has always been very behind. I actually was just on a podcast 2 days ago. We had this like exact same conversation. It's always been very behind is in the way that they do things. And I think they had to get their act together and change how they market themselves to the world in a very short amount of time, because they couldn't book tours anymore. Mm. Right. They couldn't go and play in all these places that they're used to playing. And so you had to really think outside the box. And I think it's been a really good thing. It's going to bring on some really good change. And I think people are going to be a lot more appreciative of it when we can go back out there and start hitting the stage again.
Mm-hmm. I personally think that the streaming services have got to change. My personal view on it, I just think it's ridiculous that mm-hmm. you can stream so much, you know, $10 a month in this country, whatever, I don't know what it is in the US, but it's 10 mm-hmm. £10 a month here, you can get unlimited access to music, which is a bit ridiculous, really.
It is. I mean, it's definitely no business model for somebody who's creating, because it costs a hell of a lot more than that to get that song on Spotify for somebody to stream it. That's for sure. But I don't know if it's going away. I don't believe it is going away.
No, I don't suppose it is. It's very hard to put the genie back in the bottle, isn't it? When they're out.
It is. Mm. It is. But I think it's required people to change the way they do things. That's like song licensing, like my platform that I built. That's kind of going to be, it's a different way of thinking and doing things.
Yeah.
Because it has different things built into it. You make money off licensing up front. And it's just going to be a really big part of the way things go over the next few years.
It looks like it could, yeah. It looks like you are in the beginning of this, I think. It sounds really good. So how do you contribute to yourself?
How do I contribute to myself? I'm not even sure how to answer that. To myself,
self-care. It's about self-care, my friend. How do you look after
self-care?
Yourself? How do you look after yourself?
I make sure to get up almost every morning and go for a workout. I love golfing, so I try to do that as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting out, making sure that we set time aside for date nights, stuff like that, that we don't get too caught up in life, and just all that sort of stuff. I really enjoy yoga. We make sure that we eat healthy. Just try to connect all the dots, I suppose.
Sounds good to me. I mean, you know, everyone's got their own process. And also certainly when you're an entrepreneur, you have to have one. Otherwise you just burn yourself.
So, yep.
I have this process where I have a lot of mindset stuff. Otherwise I know I have to keep working on the spiral, keep moving it up, because I can slide down if my process stops. That's what's happening. Yep.
We do lots of meditating. Yeah. We do at least one a day.
What?
We're doing a 21 day meditation challenge right now. We're on day 3, I think it was today.
Yes, day 3. I don't know. Well, the day is the 13th, isn't it?
Yeah. So yeah, just lots of stuff like that. Self-care is
a 21 day meditation challenge. Is that is that how long a meditation is that?
They range from like 10 to 15 minutes. They're not super long.
Okay.
They're just short ones. I guess depending who you ask, some people can't sit for 10 or 15 minutes and meditate. So maybe it's long for some folks.
I think 15 to 20 minutes is probably about as much as I can do without getting really fidgety, but I'm working on it.
Then maybe you should do 20 or 30. Isn't that what they say? If you can't sit for 15, you should probably sit for 30.
I know. I have heard that one. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So look,
I'm the same way though.
What's the one question that I haven't asked you that I should have done?
You've asked all the good ones. I've really enjoyed this. I've got to talk about all the things that I like talking about. I'm really glad that we went down the mindset and spiritual path, because that's not something that I usually talk about with people, but I see you have the spirit duality plaque on the back behind you. So maybe that's something that you're a little bit more into than other people might be.
It was an event I did last year. It was an event. We had 27 speakers on that, talking about that duality between, you know, living a spiritual life and living in the physical world. It was fascinating conversations with people. It is. I think it's I think people more. Well, the point is, as organized religion passed, there's a gap. And I'm not saying organized religion is right or wrong, but I mean, it is just what it is. But as it has lost its relevance in the world, in some parts of the world, it has allowed a gap to thing. And we'll come to that gap in a minute, because that's our last question. So how would people get in touch with you or connect with you if they want to, or what's the process?
So I'm on Instagram. My personal Instagram is at steve.carine. You can find that. My business Instagram is at songshop.ca.
Yep.
And I'm also on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/songshop.
Mm-hmm.
I'm active in there. I'm going to be more active in there. We just were in the process of moving and stuff, so I've been kind of slacking a little bit, but I'm getting back on the train.
Is there a website for this? It's an app, isn't
yes.
it? They can find the
app. It's a website.
It's a website.
It's a website. Yeah. Okay. It's www.songshop.ca. Okay. You can get a hold of me through the contact page in there. That email will go straight to my Songshop inbox, and
fantastic,
you can get in touch that way.
Brilliant, brilliant. So all those links will be at the website lifepassionandbusiness.com. You can find them on Steve's page and Steve's page. Do get in touch if you're a composer, because I think you could have an interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. So as I just touched on this idea of spirituality and the fact that religion left a gap. Well, it hasn't left a gap, but people have kind of, I don't know. I get the sense in the US that the religion and organized religion is pretty, pretty powerful. But certainly in the UK, it doesn't feel quite so much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've never been to the US, so I haven't been there for years. And won't go there for a while, I guess, what with COVID. but, you know, it's this thing. It's like, yeah, there is this idea that once upon a time, we were told what the meaning of life was. But now we're not. We have to work it out for ourselves. So for you, Steve, what is the meaning of life for you?
What is the meaning of life for me? I would say to make an impact by leaving everyone that you meet, that you talk to, with a smile on their face. Do your best to make other people feel good, makes you feel good, and just be a good person and live life to the fullest and enjoy every moment.
That's a good list. Can't fault that one. Thank you, Steve. So Steve Jaron, it's been a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much for the time and sharing this with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. This was awesome. Really, really enjoyed it.
All the best, Steve.
You too, Paul.
And that was Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and my guest, Steve Gerine. If you are a musician or a composer, do check out songshop.ca. You can also find Steve on Facebook and on Instagram. And all those links will be available at the website lifepassionandbusiness.com. And while you're there, do check out the resources page, because there are loads of materials to support your life journey. That includes focus coaching and the 5 questions downloads and workbooks. That's it for this week. So remember, if you are enjoying this podcast, if you enjoy any podcast, please support your content creators with likes, shares and comments. Because when you support this ecosystem, it helps people like you find good podcasts. So as always, thank you for your time and attention and being on this journey with us. And I'll catch you later. All the best.